Welcome to Under Rocks, WNIJ's podcast where we explore unique places, people, or things here in our listening region. You can send us your ideas for future shows by emailing rocks@niu.edu. Many people know the statue, the Eternal Indian, sculpted by Laredo Taft, or sometimes it's called the Black Hawk Statue near Oregon, Illinois. But most people don't know that just a couple hundred yards away from the Eternal Indian lies another significant statue. Imagine walking in the woods and coming across six large men struggling to transport a coffin on their shoulders, heads bowed in concentration, arms taut under their burden. It might take you a moment to realize you're looking at a sculpture, six life-sized, somber mourners and a casket. This is the funeral procession, or the Seven Muses, and it's not on public property. But don't worry, Under Rocks team isn't shy about asking for permission, and we were given a tour by Jan Stilson, a former librarian at the Laredo Taft campus and author of the book Art and Beauty in the Heartland, the story of the Eagle's Nest Camp at Oregon, Illinois. She began by talking to Dan Libman about the Laredo Taft campus.
We're standing in one of the most beautiful places of northern Illinois, I think, and it's the Laredo Taft campus of NIU. We were just talking, how long has NIU had this property?
I think they purchased it around 1950 or 1951.
And what was it prior to that?
Prior to that, it was owned privately by Mrs. Heckman. Her husband and she had been the landlords that oversaw, you know, the use of this property when it was an art colony. And then after he died, it was too much for her to handle, and she actually sold it to the state. So I think at the time that NIU bought this, it was just basically a transfer from the state.
Okay, and was she a part of the art colony, or is it?
No, only as a friend.
Okay.
You know, and comrade type of thing. Mm-hmm.
How did the art colony get started here? Is this the Eagle's Nest, or is that the
yes.
Eagle's Nest? Oh, it is the
Eagle's Nest. It was known as the Eagle's Nest Camp. And Laredo Taft and his friends from Chicago, mostly artists and writers and so forth, were interested in having a summer home. And they tried a couple of other places, and it didn't work out well. And so Mr. Heckman, who was employed by the University of Chicago, suggested they come out here and look around. Well, of course, when they walked along that bluff and saw the river and...
Gorgeous.
Yes, gorgeous view. And so they accepted that. And
that was before the paddle wheel. They didn't even have the boat to look at.
And he said you could just feel the spirit of the Indians as you walked through and saw the haze and fog and, you know, so they loved it.
And what kind of art, visual art, right? Were painters, sculptors?
Yes. Mr. Taft and some of his students, of course, were sculptors. And then Charles Francis Brown was a landscape painter, and Grover Gordon from Earlville, Illinois, was also landscape, and Mr. Clarkson, Ralph Clarkson, was portrait.
Okay.
And then there were some professors from the University of Chicago who were writers and poets and so forth.
Right. Oh,
Hamlin Garland.
Hamlin Garland, right. Daughter of the Middle Border.
Yes.
I heard that at some point. But.
Yes, he was already famous at that time,
Okay. You
know, from writing about the West and... Yes, he was a charter member.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we'll talk about the sculpture in a minute, but what notable art pieces came out of that that colony?
If you do an internet search for Grover, all of his paintings run $14,000 to $16,000 each on the internet. Yes, to this day. And Ralph Clarkson, they're just too many. He did busts of famous people.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're in museums and libraries all over the nation.
So let's talk about this sculpture. This is very striking. I mean, it's always, everybody knows the Eternal Indian out there, but this is the one that, to me, is sort of, I guess we can figure out a way to describe it, but it's kind of Gothic looking and...
Yes, it's classical art. And when you first come upon it, such as we did today, it's impactful.
Yeah.
To see these people rising up out of the ravine, basically. And so the idea of this was to, Taft assigned this to his students in Chicago at the Art Institute. And they were to do a group setting assignment And each one in the class was to be one of the models in this group.
Okay.
And this is what they came up with. And the original exhibit in Chicago had two mourners standing out front as well, hooded mourners.
So we should maybe describe it too, but I want to just go back to one thing you said. This was a class prompt. This was something that the creative teacher assigned to the class, and they did it.
Yes.
That's something for the creative teachers. So it looks like it's six people. I'm sort of like overwhelmed in terms of how to describe it. You have six people, and they're carrying a coffin on their shoulders. They're carrying it, and they're in various state of struggle. Most of them have their hands on it, but like that gentleman just has his hands down. He's just using his shoulders.
Yeah.
And the two up front are carrying. It looks like they're carrying most of the weight. Based on their position, they're draped in classical outfits.
Hooded.
Hooded, okay. Mm-hmm. So what's happening? What is this scene?
Well, death and sorrow, the end of things, also community. We do things together when someone dies.
Right.
And they're bearing their load of the grief and sorrow. And so it's a very dramatic figure. There was a grouping in the Louvre in Paris from the 15th century, not quite like this, but similar, with mourners in a casket and so forth. And Taft traveled extensively in Europe, so I'm sure he saw that.
Yeah.
And that maybe is where he got his original idea. Let's see how you present the idea of sorrow. And so this is what they came up with. The original structure was actually called the Mourners, and it was done in plaster. So it wasn't intended to be a permanent thing.
Okay.
And very likely, they probably destroyed the plaster, the students did, and used it to make the concrete. I'm just guessing on that, but
right.
I know that method was used when the Black Hawk statue was built. So it's entirely possible that they did this as an experiment, you might say. Nothing to the date of this had been done in concrete before as a monument.
Yeah, I was going to ask, it's unusual to have concrete. I mean, I know Black Hawk is concrete.
Yes, it was at this time. And a lot of Taft's bigger structures, the Fountain of Time in Chicago, for example, is hollow.
Uh-huh.
And it has a basement and a plumbing system and a drain and all that. This is solid. Solid concrete.
Oh, it's all the way through.
Yes.
What about Black Hawk? Is he?
Black Hawk is hollow.
He's hollow?
Like the inside of a silo.
Is there plumbing?
No plumbing.
Because I always heard as a kid that, you know, they turned him around once a year so he could poop in the river.
No.
That's not true. Okay.
That's a joke I hadn't heard. I've heard others.
Oh, okay. That's the first thing I was told when I came out here. I saw on the internet that this is called Seven Muses. Is that not accurate?
That's a popular title that's been given probably by the students themselves or even by the people who come to Taft campus over the years. The Seven Muses were the enlightenment that led you into the arts, to appreciate arts. And so I think that's where they came from, that idea. And the seventh one, of course, is in the casket.
In the box.
Yeah.
The mourners or the carriers, the weight bearers, that's their actual students that were modeled?
We think so. We don't have an awful lot of information about that, but I speculate that that's what Taft preferred, that if you're going to do something, you become the model for it.
Okay.
And you'll see that some of the faces are really rugged. This fellow over here with no hood on, he's really rugged.
Yeah, I mean, look how big his fists are, but he's not really helping much. He's kind of... I'm confused by what he's doing.
Extremely strong.
He's just giving his shoulder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let's look on the other side. Let's see if they're. Do we know if they're men or women? They look like.
I think they're all men.
Yeah.
Because this one back here is bare chested.
Back.
Yeah.
I think
they're all men.
Yeah.
The hoods, of course, give them that mystique.
I just was really struck by it, particularly by the expressions, the kind of. The differentiated expressions each one has. You can see the struggle. They're definitely six different people. And it's really a somber, striking, quiet sculpture. It really is quiet.
It is quiet, but it says a lot.
Yeah.
It's very dramatic in its presentation. I mean, this whole thing is kind of wrapped up in mystery.
Yeah.
Because it was on display in Chicago, according to what I read, and 03 and 04, and then Taft and his family went to Europe for the summer, And the students were brought out here as camp boys to take care of the camp while a lot of the people were gone. And so they must have had the bright idea after they had all this time on their hands.
Yes.
And did it, and Taft didn't know about it. And when he came home and saw it, he didn't like it. And I can show you why.
Oh.
First of all, he didn't know about it. Second of all, you can see where layers are when they poured the concrete. They didn't do it well enough that it blended together. And so you have these cracks forming wherever the layers are.
Yeah.
And that weakens the overall structure. And
yeah, you can see here that it's a little bit chipped off.
Yeah.
This guy's back.
Yes. And I was up here 2 years ago, and this is far more deteriorated now than it was then.
I know that the Black Hawk statue also underwent some of this. And
yes.
There was a big move to restore it recently.
Yes.
Which was completed.
Exactly right. Well, this piece right here is much older than Black Hawk.
Oh.
So Black Hawk wasn't finished until 1911, and if this piece, we're not sure, but somewhere between 1902 and 1908 is when this was done.
Okay.
And it was not highly publicized because, like I said, Taft was unhappy with it. And but he did leave it here, and I'm glad he did. I know Taft Campus uses this monument as an educational tool. So when
in what way?
When the students are here in residence, they stop here and talk a little bit about art history and and methodology and so forth.
It's not like they don't threaten them, like, you're going to be in the box if you don't follow the rules.
No,
you're going to have to
like
hold
that.
The box up. And this, we should say, this is not in a place that is accessible to the public. So that sort of adds to the mystique of it. You can see it online, and if you're doing another program here at Laredo Taft, you could probably take a peek at it, but
yes,
that adds to the mystique of it.
It's not a public park here, but you can bring your groups in, book a conference or an educational program of some sort when restrictions are lifted, and then of course this would be accessible to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you also wrote a book about this, right?
Yes.
So
yeah, I worked here as a librarian for a few years, and so I had access to a lot of primary material that the artists had left here. And then I went out to Washington, D.C. and met Emily Taft Douglas, the widow of Senator Paul Douglas.
Oh.
She's Taft's daughter. And so they gave me access to all kinds of original photos and documents and so forth. And so this is a book that explains a lot that other Taft books doesn't explain.
Okay.
So
it's a beautiful book.
Yeah.
Where can our listeners find a copy of that?
Amazon.com has it for sale.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good read. It's a fun read.
It's called Art and Beauty in the Heartland.
Yes.
By Jan
mm-hmm.
Stilson.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So thank you for this opportunity. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you for talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
Under Rocks would like to thank Jan Stilson for sharing her knowledge and Melanie Costello for allowing us to spend the afternoon interacting with the funeral procession or the Seven Muses. And we'd like to remind you one more time that this sculpture is not in a public location and is accessible only with the permission of the Laredo Taft campus. If you know of other unique people, places, things, or anything here in our listening region, send us your ideas at rocks@niu.edu. We are always looking for the next topic to feature on Under Rocks. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next time.